You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit realchicago.com.
If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to open to the Gospel of Luke. I'd like you to jump into it. And let me give you some background and kind of set up the next 24 weeks that we're going to be going through. Yes, I said 24 weeks. That means we're going to be going from Luke all the way into, as we get into the Christmas, which is going to be really funny, the Christmas season, we're going to actually come back to Luke, and we'll do the Christmas story in Luke, because we're going to do it here in the next 3-4 weeks. But what I want to share with you is there's been a part of me that feels like, should I do a topical sermon? Should I talk about this? Should I address the issues that are going on? And I really felt God say, no, teach me. I'm the solution. I'm the answer. If people know me, then they'll know the solution. If people know me, then they'll know the answer. If people love me, then they can love somebody else because I first love them. And so out of me and out of my love and out of my power, I can change the world. And so as your pastor, I'm sticking with where God is telling us to go. We're jumping into Luke chapter 1, and we're going to keep learning who Jesus is. And I think that's super important for us to know who Jesus is. Let me tell you a little bit of background about the book of Luke. The book of Luke is actually named after the author. It's Dr. Luke. Dr. Luke is most likely, highly likely, a Gentile. And he comes into relationship with the Apostle Paul and spends a lot of time with Paul. What's interesting, though, is Luke never says his name in the Gospel of Luke. And Luke never says his name in other ways except being referred to by the Apostle Paul. And his Gentile name, Luke, is only mentioned 3 times in the Bible, and that's by the Apostle Paul. The other thing that I want you to know about the Gospel of Luke, it's probably one of the latest written Gospels. So most likely, as you go into study and you get into academia and you jump into theology, they start just creating all this academic stuff. And they talk about this source that probably existed before Mark was written, before Matthew was written, before John was written, and before Luke was written. But what we know with Luke is Luke had most likely Mark. He had the book of Mark already in his hands, and he was able to read through it, and he was able to see it. But he was also able to go back and put more information in. We know that the book of Luke was written before 70 AD, that it was compiled and it was put together way before that time. Most likely, the book of Luke was written about 50 to 60 AD. We learn about why Luke is written. This is important. Luke writes to a gentleman named Theophilus. Luke writes back to a guy and says, and we're going to study this in a second, that let me tell you, Theophilus, this is what's going on, and this is what's happening. And so Luke goes and he does a research account. He goes back and he finds out what actually happened. He interviews eyewitnesses. He goes through all the different stories, and he finds out through gathering all this information, what is the story of Jesus? One of the things that's really interesting about the style of how Luke writes is he's very precise. He's very accurate, and he's incredibly chronological. Other gospels grab themes, and they put the themes together because they want you to understand that Jesus taught on love. So we're going to tell you stories about when Jesus taught on love. We're going to tell you about the time when Jesus talked about being a servant, and we're going to put those stories together. That's not what Luke does. Luke goes back to the very beginning, and he walks you through the chronological life of Jesus, and he brings you all the way up to the next book that he writes, which is the book of Acts, that he continues to write of, okay, this is who Jesus is, this is what happens to Jesus, and then this is what the Holy Spirit did, and here's how we responded, and here are the acts of the Spirit. And so we look at the book of Luke, and we realize this is a massive book. The group who produced the Jesus film, they commented this. They said, if you were to judge the book, link based on the number of chapters, you'd walk away thinking that Matthew and Acts are longer than Luke. After all, they both have 28 chapters, and Luke's gospel only has 24. But the word count, 19,482 words in Luke, is actually the longest. Acts has 18,450 Greek words, while Matthew's contains 18,346 words. In fact, even though Paul wrote the most books in the New Testament, 13 of them, followed by John, who wrote 5, Luke is actually the New Testament's most prolific author by sheer volume. Let that blow your mind. Dr. Luke writes more information inside of the New Testament and is such an incredible influencer inside of what we have to do when we look at the Old Testament. I mean, the New Testament. Absolutely. Paul, brilliant, amazing. Romans, awesome. Corinthians, awesome. But what we have is Luke writing the book of Luke, and we also have him writing Acts. Brilliant and beautiful. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to jump with Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Now, we're going to be doing this study in a little bit a different way. We're not going to teach the entire chapter to you. We're going to grab a segment inside of the chapter as your teachers, and we're just going to teach you a portion of it. What I would like you to do is after we teach, or maybe even before, you can do it the night before, I'd encourage you to read the chapter. So maybe on Saturday night before you go to bed this week, read Luke chapter 2. Get ready for being taught on Luke chapter 2. This week, I'm teaching you on Luke chapter 1. I'm not going to teach all of what's going on. I'll give you a little bit of an overview, but I'm not going to teach verse by verse. There's an amazing impact inside of Luke chapter 1. And so one of the other things, just jumping in, I'd like to brag, the artwork was done by Leah Brown. So super phenomenal job. We got a church that's putting everything together. We're a church that loves to include, loves to put things together, and loves to allow people to use their gifts and skills. We're a church that empowers. That's what we do. And so I want to make sure that we're still a church of inclusion, even though we're many church and we've been moved away. I want to make sure that we're a church that empowers people, even though we've got to be separated by social distancing. How can we do this? We work really hard at it, and we make sure that we honor the gifts that God has put into each one of us. All right, let's jump into Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. It says this, "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught." Now, I wanted to sit here. I mean, there's so much more in Luke chapter 1, but I really wanted to just look at the introduction. A lot of times, people, when they buy a book, they don't read the preface. When people buy a book, they don't read the introduction. When people buy a book, they don't start to set themselves up to understand, what is it that I'm trying to understand? What is it this is trying to say to me? What is this trying to tell me? And I wanted to just stop for a second, and I wanted to look at what Luke says in the introduction. Here's a guy who's about to write so much information to us. Why is he writing it? What is he trying to tell us? What is it important for us to be able to see? He owns a bunch of things inside of it. He says that we understand other people have written other accounts. There are other gospels. I've read them. He understands that other people have put together ideas and concepts that they've tried to teach, that they've tried to share. He says there have been eyewitnesses. There have been people who walked with God, and they were in part of it. They were part of the 12. They were part of the 100. They were in the upper room. I've interviewed them. I've talked to them. I've listened to Jesus' mom tell her stories. I've listened to the stories of what has happened with John the Baptist. I've spent time researching this, studying this, and I've put the energy and the effort in to understand who is Jesus. And he's saying, and I am testifying to you, Theophilus, I'm telling you, this is who Jesus is. It's incredibly powerful, all the things that are happening in verses 1 through 4. And I'll teach more on that in a second. But let's jump into more. After Luke gets done teaching this, and he says that here's the things that are going on, he introduces John the Baptist and how John the Baptist is conceived and how John the Baptist's birth comes along and how Zechariah and Elizabeth, how they're older in age and they've been wanting a child and they've been going through massive amounts of pain and massive amounts of sorrow. They were serving in the church. They were part of what was going on. They were doing everything that was righteously and right, and they just weren't getting what they wanted. Haven't you and I been there? And on the very day that Zechariah is supposed to be a part of a lottery, he wins the lottery and he walks in to serve on behalf of his people. And there's an angel standing right there next to him and it scares him. You can read about that later on this week. And then we learn about Jesus's conception. We learn about this precious girl, Mary, and that she is somebody whose life is absolutely transitioned and changed. And she finds out that she's pregnant, but she also finds out that her family member is also pregnant. And Mary goes to be with Elizabeth and to spend time with her. And it blows my mind when I look at Luke chapter 1, how empowering God Almighty is with women. That he uses two women to absolutely shift and change the world in an insane way. And if you read too quickly, you'll miss it. It's interesting that the man with Elizabeth is made mute and he's got to be quiet the entire pregnancy and he doesn't get to talk. And when it comes time to name the child, Elizabeth speaks up first and she says, this is what the name is. And then Zechariah speaks when they're asking, are you sure? And he says, yes, that's the name. And he can finally speak when he's obedient to what God is telling him to do. It's beautiful. And then we see Mary and what she goes through in that process. I know people say that Christianity is oppressive and it holds women down. And Christianity holds down races, holds down people groups. Oh, no. Abusive people hold down people. And they use whatever tools they can use to abuse people and to hold them down. Whether that's a police force, whether that's a Bible, whether that's muscles, whether that's their mouth. Abusive people abuse. But loving people set people free. Empowering people empower people. And God is a God who empowers. God is a God who takes a Gentile named Luke to write the most information inside of a important work where everybody else has Jewish background. But Luke writes the most. And he doesn't have that Jewish background. It's absolutely mind-blowing. When you read, you'll read, and I'm going to just go back through verses 1 through 4, and I'm going to kind of go over a couple things that he says. He says, you're going to read eyewitness account, eyewitnesses who've given testimony. You're going to learn about that. Theophilus, I have interviewed people, and I have written down their testimonies. He also tells them, I'm going to talk to the disciples who walked with Jesus, who were there when people were healed, who saw water turned into wine, who watched him walk on water, who saw him call out Lazarus, who saw his hands pierced, his side pierced. I talked to them. And I interviewed Paul, who was blinded and who met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Theophilus, I've done the research. Theophilus, this is true. He also says, I've walked it. I've lived it. When you read the Gospel of Luke, Luke talks about this is going on, this is going on, this is going on. When you move into Acts, he keeps saying this happened, this happened, this happened. And then all of a sudden in Acts, it transitions to I saw this, I observed this, this is what is going on. Luke doesn't just study, he sees it come alive. Wouldn't it be beautiful if Christians weren't just studying some dead old document about a God who once moved a long time ago? And Christians were able to transition into a time where God is moving today and they are seeing God move and they are watching his hand. They are seeing healing. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be powerful? And I want to share with you, you have that opportunity. If you believe that God would speak to you today, guess what? You might be willing to listen to see if he's even speaking. If you believe that God can move today, you might be looking to see if he's moving. Even in the darkness, even in this pain, if you believe that God is moving, you'll see it and you'll watch it. And then Luke also teaches this. He says, the Gospels have been recorded so that you may have certainty of what you have been taught. The Gospels have been written so that you can have certainty of what you've been taught. One of the key things that's important as Christians is you need to read Scripture and you need to learn what your biases are when you come to the Scripture. You need to understand what the biases are of the person who's teaching the Scripture. Why did they teach you what they taught you? What were they trying to say? What was the benefit in what they were trying to do? Did what they taught you move them into a place of being a servant, or did what they taught move them into a place of power and strength? Start paying attention. Go back to the culture series. Start identifying what people are doing. Luke puts together this entire document so that you can have certainty in what you've been taught about Jesus, that he is the Son of God, that he is the King of Kings, that he is the Lord of Lords, that he did come in power and strength and might, and he is the only thing that will bring you salvation. Luke is saying, this is the truth. This is what you need to be a part of. As we go through Luke, we got to notice that he cares deeply about different things. Something that's really interesting to me is 23 times in the Gospel of Luke, he records that Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man. 23 times. I've taught you guys this before. If something is said and it's repeated again and again and again, it's incredibly important. Jesus wanted us to know that he was the Son of Man. The other thing that he said 7 times in Luke that Luke records is that Jesus says the Son of God is announced 7 times, that he's the Son of God. Whether he says it or somebody else says it, 7 times Luke records that Jesus is the Son of God. But really interesting, as you're looking at the Gospel of Luke, 32 times this phrase is said. And this is an important phrase. The phrase is the kingdom of God. 32 times Luke writes down the kingdom of God. And what he's saying here in Luke chapter 1 is, Theophilus, I want to affirm in you about the kingdom of God. I want to educate you about the kingdom of God. I want you to understand the difference between the kingdom of man and the kingdom of God. I want you to understand the difference between how human flesh wants to react and how our spirit wants to react. And what Luke is saying to Theophilus is, I really hope you read this. I really hope you go through this and you take this deeply and you're encouraged by it. Isn't that cool when you start thinking about what it is that Luke is about? How huge this book is, how important this book is, how precise this book is. This book has some other parables that the other gospels use, but then this book has specific, clear parables that are only found inside of Luke. Luke is insanely precise. We know that he's a doctor because there's a couple times where he actually responds and he writes the Greek medical term for the actual issue that's going on inside of the person. There are times where only a medical physician would have known what that was. And Luke specifically states it in the Gospels. In other words, he doesn't just gloss over information. He tells you what you really need to listen to and what you really need to hear. So how do we bridge? How do we bridge to today's application? How do we take these 4 verses, just the introduction? It doesn't seem like anything spiritual or huge or like the Holy Spirit didn't drop and a dove didn't fall out of the sky. How do we take, in as much as many have undertaken to compile a narrative to the things that have been accomplished among us, how do we transition this into, well, what do I do with that information? How does that impact me? How do I respond to this? Let me share with you a couple things that I think that we need to look at. How do we bridge it? The first one is, we are still eyewitnesses to what God is accomplishing. We are still eyewitnesses to what God is accomplishing. You have a personal eyewitness in your own life. You know what goes on in your heart. You know what goes on in your mind. You know what goes on in your head. You know the prayers that you've prayed. You know how you've asked God to work in your life. And you are watching God move in your life today. And you're also getting the opportunity to watch God move in the world. You're getting the opportunity to watch God move in ways that are powerful and incredible. Even this week, something as simple as a bubble maker. Someone being moved by God to buy a bubble maker and bring it to me. They're thinking that's the dumbest thing to do. But this week, a bubble maker that I've used to make children smile and laugh and giggle, it died. And my wife and I were working together trying to figure out what to do. And I was like, I guess I'm going to have to go out and buy another one. And yet somebody who was just precious enough to listen to what God is saying realized I needed to buy a bubble maker. And they brought it to me and said, this seems weird. Here's a bubble maker. Like, I don't know what you're doing. I'm like, well, that's incredibly interesting. Because our bubble maker died. And I was planning to go get one. It's simple things. It doesn't have to be someone receives sight. It doesn't have to be that someone rises from the dead. It doesn't have to be that you got the job that you were praying for. It can be simple little itty-bitty things. And you can be a person who's a part of watching God still move today. We are still eyewitnesses to what God is accomplishing. Pastors and teachers give testimony and point to the truth. Just like the disciples, just like the people who testified that Luke is writing about, we still have that today. We still have dedicated men and women of God who are pointing to Christ, who are pointing the direction that we are supposed to go. And we have the opportunity to do the work to see where they're pointing. There are thousands of voices now that all have a blog, that all have a podcast, that all have a vlog, that can be on CNN, that can do anything that's going on. There are too many talking heads. Which one do you listen to? There's people who are telling the truth. There are people who love you. And there are people who are going to point you in the direction that you may not want to go, but it's what's best for you. Listen to those people. Love those people. Honor those people. The other one that we have is Luke says, I have watched. Now you get to be the person who gets to say, just like Luke, I am watching. I am observing. You get that same opportunity. You can do the research. You can learn about who Jesus is. You can scour the Gospels. You can read through Acts. You can read eyewitness accounts and information, and you can decide who Jesus is. That's pretty powerful. That's amazing as we bridge this gap just in these first four chapters. And then you can read the Gospel of Luke and build certainty in your own beliefs. Isn't that powerful? Look where we get to go for the next 24 weeks. We get to build up certainty. We get to build up security. We get to build up truth. We get to build up honesty. We get to build up where our hope is, our answer is, and what we desperately need. That's amazing and beautiful and cool. I just invite you along to have a blast with us in this process. So, last thing that I want to teach on before I close up and finish out with the things that we're going to do today is this. When we read chapter 1, what do we learn? When you read through chapter 1, whether later on today or whether later on this week, and you go through chapter 1, what is it that you learn? This is what I've learned, is that God loves using the small. God loves using the inferior. God loves using the weak to accomplish his kingdom. This week, I felt inferior. This week, I felt small. This week, I felt weak. God, what can I do in all this pain? How can I love on people? How can I encourage people? How can I pray? God, I'm just one person. What can I do? And I read Luke chapter 1, and I just saw God go, look what I can do with one person. And not only one person, look what I can do with a baby. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. As I read through Luke chapter 1, he uses the old. Zechariah and Elizabeth are way old in age. He uses them in an incredible ways. He uses the young, a baby, two babies coming into the world to absolutely change everything. John coming into the world to reference who Jesus is. And to point that this is the one who's coming, to point people to repentance, to ask people to absolutely change their lives and get on board with God. And then we have a baby that comes into the world. It's really interesting. One of my favorite verses, Luke just glosses over 30 years of Jesus' life. We'll get to it in Luke 2:52, where it says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature in front of God and men. And that's it. That's all we learn. Why? Because his teenage years aren't important. And sometimes we get distracted as Christians. We want to learn information that's not important. Luke is trying to say, here's the important information. It's Jesus. Learn about him. And I'm like, well, tell me more about John the Baptist. What did he do for 30 years? Doesn't matter. John was a signpost. He was pointing to Jesus. Focus on Jesus. God uses the old. He uses the young. He uses the forgotten. Do you ever feel like you're forgotten? You ever feel like God has just set you aside and he used you one day and now he's not using? God loves to use stuff when he loves to use it. Zechariah is old in age. He's been serving in the temple for years. He's done the routines. He knows the sacrifices. He has all this stuff. And then one day he meets an angel late in life. And that angel says, you're going to be a dad. Do you have the heart and the courage to continue to that one day? I love some of my friends. They teach, don't give up until you receive your miracle. Don't quit until you see God show up. Stick with it. Endure. Remain steadfast. So whether you're old or whether you're young, focus on God and stick with him. He also uses the rejected. Have you ever felt like you were rejected? Have you ever felt like people said you weren't good enough? You weren't tall enough. You weren't skinny enough. You weren't fat enough. You weren't tan enough. You weren't pale enough. You didn't have curly hair. You didn't have straight hair. They rejected you for whatever reason. Right now in our world, people are rejecting people all over the place. And God says, I love working with the rejects because the world has rejected me. Oh, think about that. Jesus came and he's rejected. And you and I are wondering, why am I being rejected? And scripture says, if you really follow Christ, you will experience what Christ experienced. Let me say it again. Wherever you're at, young, old, forgotten, rejected, God wants to use you. God wants to love on you, and he wants to care for you. So this week, do me a huge favor. Read Luke chapter 1. Have an absolute blast going through that. Look at it. Dive into it. Read. It's Saturday night next week. Read Luke chapter 2. We're going to join back here together in mini church, and we're going to have next week Chelsea's teaching. I know you guys are tired of listening to me talk for the last 47 weeks. We finally get another teacher to come in. I know I'm exaggerating. It hasn't been 47 weeks, but it feels like it, doesn't it? And so Chelsea's going to be coming up and teaching us next week, and that's going to be so awesome, and I'm so excited to have that in this process. Pray for her this week as she's studying, and pray for Darren as he's leading worship next week. Pray for the mini churches as they're gathering together and they're both excited and nervous. Pray for other mini churches who are going to start joining together as we go through this process and we look to include each other. Pray for each other as we go through this process of mutually submitting to each other. Let me remind you, one person does not get to dominate a group. That is not allowed. It has to be everybody talking through what it is that the group feels and what decisions need to be made. We are going to reflect to our world what actually mutually submitting to each other in multiple races, in both genders, and inside of massive amounts of age groups looks like. In other words, we're going to show the world what it looks like to be loving, to be tender, to be faithful, and to be truthful for God's kingdom. I love you guys. Thank you so much for gathering with us. May God bless you. May he care for you, and may he absolutely smile on you. May he keep you safe, and may you have the heart and the willingness to feel rejected and hurt, but turn to the right answers. And that's Jesus. I pray God blesses you and me as we learn more about him as we read into Luke. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful Sunday.